Hi, this is Kurt Smith from Tears for Fears, and yes, I'm to blame for Mr. Media being married. Sorry, girl.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to unique international model Brittany Nola. She's Playboy Magazine's Miss November 2012. Stick around. I'll do my best to convince her to keep her clothes on, but I can't promise I'll try too hard. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of red-blooded men with no hesitation to look a pretty, naked girl in the eye in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I can't exactly put my finger on why, but I've always had this fascination with naked women. Oh, that's right, it's because I'm a guy. Now, most men like women all different ways. Colors, races, heights, weights, you name it. And most of all, we like them in various stages of undress. Look, I'm just being honest, okay? And when it comes to Playboy, I've had a relationship with the magazine and its editorial features since I was 13. You can look at me and start doing the math. And this show has had its share of Playboy editors and playmates over the years. So it should be no surprise that I invited Miss November 2012, Brittany Nola, to drop by and chat today. As you'll learn, Brittany, whose high school graduating class voted her most likely to be famous, is a Canadian by birth, a huge music fan, and even has something in common with Barack Obama. Well, think about that. Brittany Nola, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you.
You too.
Glad you survived the Sandy last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not the experience you were expecting, I assume.
No, we did. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. You know, like everyone was just a bit frightened. No one knew what was going to happen. But then I just lost power. But it was even going down. I live in the West Village. Going down there just to get my stuff. It was like Armageddon, you know. There was no one there, and the street lights didn't work, and you couldn't catch a cab. It cost me $70 to get uptown, which is outrageous, just because no one was going down there. Yeah, it was really strange. It was like all the movies of, you know, Manhattan, where things just end.
And has your place gotten back to normal yet?
Yeah.
You have power?
Yeah, last week we got power.
And what's the village?
Days ago.
What's the village like now?
I mean, it's just a bit. It's just, you know, there's like debris and people are still cleaning up, but people are getting back to normal. It's other places that need a lot of help, like Rockaway, Staten Island, and, you know, they were hit harder. So we're trying, my friends and I are trying to get up to Rockaway. But it's been a bit of a struggle to get everyone together to go.
Well, I have to say, in the 6-year history of doing this show, having to postpone an interview due to the 100-year storm, the storm of the century, that was a new one. So that goes in the books. We were going to do this last week, and of course the storm sort of got in the way. But we're glad you're here, and I'm glad you came through it okay.
So, thank you.
Sure. So let's talk about why you're here. Tell me what's tougher. Is it being photographed in the nude or having to talk about it afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm not really, I'm not like a show off. I don't really, like nudity to me, I'm not really nude all the time. You know, I just like walk around my apartment nude and I don't wear like very scandalous stuff. So to me, I love the nude body, and I think it's beautiful, and I think it's amazing. But especially with Playboy, I felt so comfortable because all the men there, like everyone working there, has that, you know, they've seen naked bodies. for years. So you taking your clothes off, they're not like, ooh, you know.
You're saying they're not like cartoon characters where their eyeballs pop out of their...
They're like completely normal about it. So
that's funny.
Yeah, so it was really easy to shoot in the nude. I didn't feel at all like I was being gawked at. It was really comfortable, but talking about it is a little strange, to be honest, because I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit strange. I feel a lot more comfortable just doing it.
So you are not a native New Yorker. Tell us where you're from.
I'm originally from Canada. And then we moved to Brooklyn, and then upstate New York, and then Pennsylvania is where I, you know, spent most of my formative years.
Oh, and but you did go to where did you go to high school?
Wallenpaupack in the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I thought you had gone to high school in Canada because I didn't recognize the name of the. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of sounds Canadian, Wallenpaupack. I mean, it's just a strange name to begin with.
It does.
When my mother told me that I was going to school at Wallenpaupack, I was quite mad because of the name. It's like, what kind of school would be called Wallenpaupack? But it's actually a really good school. And we live on a lake.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you just, after school, you know, during the summer or spring or whatever, you would just go on the boat and drive out into the lake. So it was really nice.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
But what kind of cheers would a high school with that name? I'm not even going to try to say the name. I mean,
Wallenpaupack.
How do you do a cheer? Not that you were a cheerleader, but how do you do a cheer for a school that only people who live there can even pronounce?
We call it Pawpack.
Ah.
Pawpack.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That explains it. That explains it. So before Skype kind of crapped out on us there momentarily, we were talking about, you know, that you're not always nude in your life. You're not someone who's parading around that way. And you said to me, actually, before we started the interview officially, that, you know, you're comfortable wearing kind of manly-looking clothes.
Yeah, I wear a lot of menswear. I'm really into fashion. Mm-hmm. So that requires wearing clothing to express your style. So... but I'm really into menswear. I've kind of progressed where I've matured in my style. Mm-hmm. So I still wear menswear, but it's a lot more womanly. Mm-hmm. Before I would just wear I collected band tees, and you know, like I was a bit grungy. Everyone called me.
Really?
Like I was very into because I'm obsessed with film and there's some shows that I'm obsessed with as well, but they really influence my style.
What shows?
Well, when I was really into My So-Called Life for a while.
Mm-hmm. Claire Danes.
So that's the whole like grungy. I had like 10 pairs of Doc Martens, and I was really grungy. But now I'm a little more inspired by. There's just some, you know, there's some older films like in the 60s and the 70s, some French films. I'm inspired by, you know, a little bit of French. Ooh, I just cracked my knuckle. I didn't mean to do that. My nerve.
I love video. I love sound.
What? We've just like French New Wave, but then with a little bit of Annie Hall in it, you know.
So, 400 Blows,
Jules and Jim,
was that what we're talking about? Or Claire's Knee? What are we talking about here?
That was really nice. I'm proud of you. It's very rare to have someone put films back in my face. But, you know, I actually, Claire's Knee, I think that actress, Claire, I'm obsessed with her. Mm. She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't she? There's something really, but she like never did she really do anything else? I don't know.
That I don't know. I actually know this. It's not cheating, but I know this because actually in college I got my degree in film, and we did a round of French. Actually, there were two rounds of French New Wave and one German New Wave. So yeah, that I was probably about your age what you are now when I saw that stuff, and it made a big impact. So
yeah, huge impact. Yeah. That's it. Like people, I mean, people should start watching more film because they're. I have a lot of like American friends who won't watch French film because they don't like reading subtitles.
Ah.
And then there's other American friends who think that it wasn't, if it's not American, then it wasn't good enough to make it in America. It's like,
yeah, that's not a good attitude.
Yeah, that's not at all.
I always find if the movie is good, that you forget that you're reading the subtitles, you know, that it's not like work. It's just like, okay, just keep the plot going and I'll keep reading and I'll watch and I'll read. And I mean,
yeah, I don't even think about it anymore. I suppose in the beginning it was a bit annoying because you have to look down and up and down and up to see what's going on, but then you just get used to it. And then you can, like, expand your eyes so you're seeing, like, eventually just are reading and seeing it at the same time.
Yeah, you don't think about
just
it.
Just train your eyes to do it, yeah.
Come on, folks, you can eat popcorn and watch a movie at the same time. You can read, watch the movie, and eat popcorn. Get, you know, come
this
on.
This is the times, man. We're in, like, the multitasker thing. Read subtitles. You can be on your iPad, your computer, and your cell phone at the same time while watching or playing a video game.
Now,
I tried to one up you, but it just like failed.
No, you did fine. You did fine. So I am curious. Born in Canada, right?
Yeah.
And I guess this is a point where we can explain why I said that you had something in common with Barack Obama. Do you mind if we explain that?
No. I explain.
You explain. It'll sound better coming from you than from me.
My mother is white and my father is black, so I'm biracial.
But you're not from Kenya.
No.
Just kidding. He's from Hawaii, folks. But did that? And the reason I bring that up now is I'm curious because you have this this interest in French film. I'm just wondering if your parents had more of an impact culturally. On your interests and things than maybe someone who didn't have such a variety of background.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, well, first, my parents didn't let us have TV when we were younger. So that was also, that was just, you know, that just built the way to be, because we could only watch movies. So we, every night we rented a movie. So that was, you know, we didn't sit around watching random TV. So it was really nice, but there was always I don't really know if it had anything to do with the race of my parents. It was just the way my parents are very intelligent. You know, there's always books and movies and we always had to have family dinner and sit around and we had to talk. We could not talk about like we had to talk about world like issues and talk about deeper things than just how is your day. So and they taught me how to argue. Like my brother is a huge debater, and so he's one of my best friends. My brother is amazing, but we'll sit around and just like go at each other debating about things, and we're really into. Do you know Joe Rogan?
Sure. The TV show, it's Fear Factor, yes.
Yeah.
And he's a comedian, of course.
Yeah, and he has a podcast. So my brother and I are, like, obsessed with his podcast, and he talks about, you know, the aliens and the world and why we're here and politics and marijuana and everything. Like, he covers so many things, but he has a really intelligent way of speaking about them and of making you understand. So we really like him. But anyway, we would argue all the time, like in a healthy way. Hmm. And my
younger brother. Now, it's funny because I listen to and watch a lot of podcasts. And in fact, some might say I even create one. But my younger brother is a big fan of Rogan's podcast. And I never really got Rogan. I like Chris Hardwick and I like Marc Maron, but I never really got Rogan. Yeah. But so it's interesting that you guys get so much out of his show.
Yeah, we love his show. But he also has great people come on as well to talk.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you talk about in the magazine that your dad was very big on music with you. You mentioned the Temptations and Dylan.
Yeah, I don't think we really ever have music not playing. Mm. Well, now it's a bit strange because my brother's gotten into this like rap and screamo phase. So he like tries to play it. Yeah, he like tries to play it, you know, when everyone's home and we're, and then so we like get, it becomes an argument because Nate has to argue about why his music should be able to be played. But growing up, it was so nice. My dad would sing to us all the time. Like we had about three songs that he would sing that were our songs. And then my brother had his songs. And then like my parents, if they got in a fight, my dad would just start singing to her. And it was really lovely. And he has a very nice voice. And then we just had music always blasting through our home. And my dad's really funny. He's funny to me. Sometimes he's not that funny, but he thinks he's funny. So he's always trying to be funny. And sometimes it's hit or miss, but
my daughter feels the exact same way about me. Yeah. That's why I'm laughing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But we would dance all the time and just always, it was always so much fun being home. We would always get up and just dance. And my dad taught me how to dance and do the two-step, I think. Yeah, the two-step I learned really early in my life. And I also, my dad has 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
So culturally, I've been more exposed to the black side of my family than the white, because my mother only has two sisters. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine, like, 10 brothers and sisters and then, like, tons of cousins, and so there's a much bigger family on my father's side.
Wow. And I gotta ask, you know, as close as your family is and everything you're saying, it's a wonderful story. How does that fit in? How do we jump from that to Playboy? I mean, it seems like, you know, a lot of times you hear about women doing this type of thing and they come from a very different background than what you're describing.
I think that people need to understand that to be comfortable with your body, to push the limits, doesn't mean that you're trying, that something's happened in your life. You can be a smart woman and a together woman and have your interests and carry on with your interests, but still be comfortable with your body, because I think that in America, women are given a really hard time, and women are made to think, because of media and because of the way that people treat, you know, the nude body and stuff, we're made to think that there's something wrong with us, and we're so embarrassed and so, like, afraid of our bodies, because, you know, you can show violence on television, you can show like on a show at 8 p.m. a man getting his head sliced off. Like, Walking Dead is outrageously violent. I saw like 3 minutes of it the other day, and like a man with a torso, he was like cut in half, and then like stabbed him in the brain and like pulled it out and stuff. But God forbid a nipple is shown,
right,
and it's like the end of the world. But we can show all this violence, which actually, and I'm not, I mean, it's fine, what, you know, it's TV, it sells, but we can show all this and it's completely fine. A mother could sit there with her child and like watch these even like Power Ranger, people are like punching each other and people do get killed, and, you know, in these children's shows. But then like the natural, it's your natural body is meant to be this scandalous thing.
Right.
I mean, like with the way I did Playboy, I don't think I over sexualized my body. Like, it's already sexual enough, you know, like you're naked. But I think that women are just given way too hard a time, and like you guys get to walk around topless all the time. That's crazy, because
I'm wearing clothes just like you, though. I'm, you know,
like in the streets, people in the summer, men just walk around topless, and some of you have boobs, like some of you aren't.
It's true.
Yeah, so we are given such shit, but literally we look the same sometimes, and I don't know. I just, and also growing up with foreign film, I never, you know, I'm so desensitized to the naked body, the nude body, and in America, you see, because people are so nervous about it, because people make such a hoopla about it, it's done in a way, even in film, you know, where you can see that the like people are nervous about the fact that they're doing it. So then it seems unnatural in the way that it's just so constricted because everyone is just too afraid. But in like foreign film, I just saw this movie called Elves the other day. A few months ago, but like it opens up with it's Juliette Binoche, and it opens up with like a blowjob scene, and then like it's crazy, but you don't. And I'm sitting next to like a 6-year-old woman watching it, and I don't feel uncomfortable because they do it in such a way where it's just they're just showing real life. Mm-hmm. This is what happens in real life. Juliette Binoche is interviewing two prostitutes. She's not like, how are they not going to show what it's like to be a prostitute? Mm-hmm. Just leave it to our imaginations. No, I want to see it. I want to see what's going on. I think it's really interesting because in those films you don't feel uncomfortable. You don't feel like it's strange to see that. You know, it's because everyone's comfortable and everyone's okay with it. So it comes across very differently.
Well, I know every time that I've been alone with Juliette, that's pretty much what's happened. So it sounds pretty normal to me to hear that described as the opening of the movie. I honestly couldn't agree with you more. I don't understand why an 8 or 12 or year old kid can sit in front of the TV at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, even 9 o'clock at night, and see the violence that you're talking about, but nudity is so frowned upon. I don't know. I've never really understood that. Of the two, I can tell you which I would if there were two TVs on. And one was showing violence, and one had a love scene or nudity or whatever. I think the fact that we're doing this interview and what I've said so far, you can tell which TV I'd be watching. So So how did your did your parents have any hesitation when you told them what you were doing, or have they been fully supportive or
fully supportive? Well, I really enjoy pushing the boundaries. Mm-hmm. I always have. In my own, not like, but pushing the boundaries in my own mind, pushing myself to do things. But I started working with this photographer, Jonathan Leader. And that was the first time I did any nude photography. And it was like, it was fashion, I did it for, I think the first time was for a German magazine. I dyed my hair brown for a while. So he shot that called The Brunette. And I think there was one more. So I was really used to it. And my parents knew about it. And even I have a music video that I did called Is Tropical Lies. The band's called Is Tropical and the song's called Lies. And it's snippets from the very beginning of the film that I'm in. And I play an exotic dancer. And then so that's like, that's, has nudity in it too. So, it wasn't like a brand new thing to do.
So in terms of career, is it something that you just felt, this is a natural, I'm modeling and I'm doing film. It's just part of what you're doing. And is it a career step for you? Do you see, that you'll have opportunities as a result of doing Playboy that you would not have otherwise had?
I hope so. Yeah, that's all you can... I certainly hope so. I think it's... I think everything is coming out at the same time. So, I shot Playboy, and then I did a Louis Vuitton commercial, and it came out at the same time. So, it's fashion and then Playboy. And then I have this film coming out, which is, really raw and different, and so that's, I think it's just showing that there's so much different variety in me. Playboy was more just to show, I'm not ashamed of my body, and I'm not saying every woman needs to, walk out of their apartment stark naked and prance down the street, but I am saying that, I'm not the typical, I have curves and I have I'm not a thick, thin figure. So, It's just like all body types are beautiful, and you shouldn't be, we shouldn't be so afraid. Men make us afraid of our bodies and media. So I, as a fellow woman, just felt like I shouldn't be afraid to say, here I am. I'm a-
Well, I'm hoping I'm not one of the men making you afraid. I just want to say.
No.
I mean, it's there is a borderline here, but I realize I was thinking about this before we started talking that, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm here having this conversation with you. I'm definitely more than twice your age, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's a certain line that to be avoided in terms of creepiness and talking about this. But I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I'm kind of wondering. You know, there's so much competition to get one of these 12 monthly positions with Playboy. How did it come about that you got it? I mean,
Playboy asked me.
They saw something you had done?
I don't know. I guess that they saw my trailer. I think, like, I mean, I'm not really sure, but that's what I heard. So that's what I've been saying. I think they saw my trailer, and my agent called me, and I was in Woodstock, and asked me if I would be interested in doing it. So it took a while to talk through it and figure out exactly, you know, what we wanted to happen. But I'm really happy with the results, and
it's a beautiful pictorial.
Yeah, I didn't know much. I'm sorry, I was wearing shoes, and I'm just gonna take them off.
Okay.
I didn't know much about Playboy before. I collect old Playboys, but like I didn't know the whole like Playmate of the Year, and I didn't know much. You know, I didn't know that there were Playmates and that there were other girls and like the Cyber Girls. I'm getting to know it now. And when I went the first time, I asked a lot of questions, and it's actually really interesting, and it's competitive. Like, people really want to, there's a lot of women who want to do it, but the people who are in it, especially if you're part of the same year, they're so nice to each other. They're so, it's like, it's a family, you know, like all the girls are really lovely, and they're really good. I'm actually like, because I'm a New Yorker, you know, I have a little more of an edge to me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, I was surprised of how, well-rounded and sweet and professional and, like, good those girls are. Like, they hold themselves well, and they don't really drink much, and they're pretty, yeah, they're very sweet girls, so...
So all right. So you brought it up. I'm going to ask you, who do you think the competition is for Playmate of the Year? Then, since you brought that up, and everyone's so friendly and, you know, and supportive and all that, but you know, nonetheless, it comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I heard that Nikki Lee is really. Like, they really like Nikki Lee. Everyone really likes Nikki Lee, which is understandable. She's, like, super all-American, you know, really has a... Even, like, I mean, the girl and Raquel Pomklin, Pomklin, I don't know how to say her last name, but she's really sweet. She, like, has a great smile, and she's really... I mean, there's a lot of really sweet girls, but then, like, I got the DVD, like, the 15-minute thing, and my friends, we all sat around and watched it on the projector, and they were like, Brittany, this is so great. What are the other girls like? I want to see the other girls. And I showed them the other girls, and all my guy friends were like, those are really good looking. Like, I didn't know that they were going to be so good looking. And they're like, we thought you had it, but you really have a lot of competition.
Thank you, friends.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Wow.
But they really liked Nikki Lee, and they liked someone else, a Brazilian girl. I don't remember her name. Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's funny that you mentioned Brazilian girl, because I actually written myself a note that now you were born up in Canada in Ontario, and I was thinking about In the last couple of years, I'd been up to Toronto a lot, and I remember one of the things that struck me, besides the food was really good, was that everywhere you went, there was the most beautiful people. I mean, women in particular, just such a melding of ethnicities and races. And the only other place I've seen that in the world was Rio de Janeiro. Same kind of thing. And so, you know, I saw you, and when I read, I mean, you wouldn't know of your background until you saw it on paper. There was no way that someone would think, you know, that your parents were mixed race. It just wouldn't have come up. But then when I read it, I saw you were from Canada, I thought, okay, see, for me, it's 2 and 2 equals 4 here, because just so many beautiful women up there that don't look like anyone anywhere else, except maybe, you know, in Rio, but more probably a little darker there and lighter in Toronto, obviously. But I don't know where I'm going with this. It's not really a question. It's just kind of an observation. So
yeah, that's it. It's very strange, because in New York, everyone I meet from Canada, all, you know, and they're always like beautiful people. They're all from Toronto. Mm. And does no one come from anywhere else in Canada? You know, I've not met anyone from a small town in Canada. It's everyone is from Toronto, and they're all stunning. And, I mean, I have a friend who went to Toronto and stayed because he was like, the girls are better here than in New York. And so he just stayed because they're also very, very nice.
I was just going to say, so much nicer in Canada than in New York.
Yeah, but I like the, I mean, yeah, they're really nice, but I love New York women. Like I mean, not to diss LA, because I do like LA, but when I, like, I have a place in LA and I go there a lot, but when I come back to New York, all my little, like, grumpy friends, you know, smoking their cigarettes, complaining about things, and like, just like going to art shows. I mean, I just love them. I think there's something about New York women. I love their hardness, and I love their, like, their little attitude. And that's it. And I always feel like, you know, like I have a lot of guy friends, and I live with men. And so there's always men at my house. And their biggest complaint always about New York women is that they're bitches. But I think to be a bitchy woman, if you're not like mean and catty and trying to hurt someone, if you're just like, you know, if you don't take anyone's bullshit, I think that's rather nice, because you're just not intimidated. And that's how New York women are. They have like their whole thing going on, and they don't have time to like to try to sit and be cute and impress a man. Right. And, you know, like they're very independent women. And if that makes you bitchy, then that's fine, because, you know, men are, they just, you know, you guys want really sweet, but sometimes you just have to be, you know, like aggressive and to get what you want. So, to be around, I mean, Toronto women are very lovely and kind, and they're very clean. That's the thing I hate about New York, is that they provide us trash cans on every corner. Every single corner, we are provided trash cans. And people will throw things on the floor next to the trash can. Mm. New Yorkers and tourists, they are so messy. They just throw everything all over the floor. It's really crazy. You can go to some spots in New York, some little like crevices, and it will just be piles of plastic and food. And oh, it's so bad. Just messy. That's the thing. Canadians, that just wouldn't happen in Canada.
No, Canada, Toronto, where I've been a couple of times, just clean and beautiful, so, and a lot of pride taken, you know, even in the middle of the city and in the urban areas. It's just a great place.
Yeah.
I love it up there. All right, so look, we've had you here a long time. I want to ask you about this movie that you made. I had read that you had shot It's American Ecstasy. It was with Jonathan Leder is the director. And I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying his name.
Oh, okay. And you had said before we went on, when you asked where I was, and I said St. Petersburg, and you said, oh, we just shot the movie in Tampa. So take that, people who don't think this is the new media capital of the world. Tell us about the film.
Okay, the film is shot in black and white, and I am an exotic dancer, but only in the very beginning, and I fall in love and I lose the person I love, and it basically just trails my life after that. It's very, there's like a lot of imagery, and it's a bit different, but just like people come in and out of my life, and it shows like kind of my downfall and my transition into a different woman after being affected by such a loss. So it's really, and it's very claustrophobic feeling. You know, I live in Tampa. I drive a 77 Buick, and I live in a trailer park, and it's just very, I have a pretty hard life. My character, not I, my character. But I think it's going to be really good. The director actually has been sending me pictures and of like screenshots, and it looks amazing. So I can't wait to see some things put together.
When will it be out?
Spring.
Okay. And Tampa is acknowledged as the city that it's done in?
Yeah.
Wow. How cool. That'll be here. Very cool. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, I mean, your character starts off as this exotic dancer. You know that Magic Mike was filmed here, too.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Channing Tatum actually is from Tampa. But the movie was filmed in St. Petersburg, about 2 miles away from me.
Well, is that where Channing Tatum stripped? Is that where he actually stripped?
In Tampa, yeah. Yeah.
Like, because he used, I don't, yeah.
That's my understanding. I haven't seen the movie. It was not really.
Not seen it either.
I'm not really the audience for that film. I'm neither female nor gay, so it didn't appeal to me. But I like the fact that the movie was shot here. How was the switch from modeling to acting for you? Was that comfortable? Did you have to do any?
Well, I did theater in high school, so I mean, yeah, it was still different. It made me come out of my shell a lot because modeling, you know, you don't really have to. There's so much more you have to bring to the table as an actress. But there was a lot I learned in high school, you know, the character development and so on. So it was easier for me to get into character and to understand. And I read a lot of books on scripts and reading scripts. And so I loved it. It was so wonderful. And the camera was on me all the time. I liked it.
You liked that. The girl voted most likely to be famous. Kind of liked that, yeah. Put two and two together there. All right. Well, listen, folks, you can find Brittany Nola in the pages of the November 2012 issue of Playboy magazine. It's on your local newsstands right now. You can also check her out online at playboy.com. Brittany, do you have a website yourself?
I'm in the middle of doing it, but it's just BrittanyNola.com. And I also write for a blog called Something You Said. Oh, I write like music reviews, film reviews, and opinion pieces.
Is it SomethingYouSaid.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I noticed before we started the interview that you're also on Twitter?
Yes.
All right. Are you on Facebook?
No.
Okay. All right. So plenty of places to find Brittany. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said an Instagram.
An Instagram. Okay. Well, Brittany, this was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed getting to know you. Delighted to find out that your film shot in Tampa. So we'll help you get some mileage out of that. And thank you so much for being with being on Mr. Media today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. My pleasure. You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest two-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Marc Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJs, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJs or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.